If you're outside the continental United States and you'd like to call in and ask a question, dial our direct line, 772-978-1215. That's 772-978-1215. This is it. The world's premier talk radio platform. All about health, wellness, fitness, and medicine. HealthRadio.net. And now, it's time for Health Radio's medical and wellness news magazine, Health Talk Radio, with senior health correspondent Melanie Cole.
Hi, how you doing? Oh, got little sticks going there. Yes, we are the number one health talk radio on the internet. We're the only ones doing what we do, and you can get some really great information here on Health Radio. Certainly, you're getting that today. My guest is Dr. James Underberg. His clinical focus is in preventive cardiovascular medicine. He's a clinical assistant professor of medicine in the Division of General Internal Medicine at NYU Medical School. And we are talking with, he's also a lipidologist. And so we're talking with Dr. Underberg about heart disease, symptoms, signs, and the testing. We're going to talk about prevention. But Dr. Underberg, before we do, I'd like to ask you that when we have these blood tests and the hospitals are still charging extra for, and the labs, for CRP, homocysteine is almost not even important anymore. What do you think of these kind of looking for inflammation, these inflammatory markers, C-reactive protein and such?
Well, you've actually touched on a topic that is very near and dear to me. C-reactive protein, which is a marker of inflammation in the blood vessels of the heart, when tested at a high sensitivity level, is also a marker of inflammation in general. It tends to be an excellent blood test to use if you're doing research studies and looking at large number of patients over time. If I'm looking at 10,000 patients and I want to know which group is at risk, measuring their C-reactive protein as a group might be useful for research. The problem is, the test can be abnormal for a lot of different reasons other than heart disease. So when used to take care of an individual and it's elevated, you don't know if it's elevated because of a heart disease risk or because you have a sore throat or you sprained your ankle or you had a dental cleaning the week before. And so there tends to be a lot of variability with the test. And so I start to think about, why is that C-reactive protein a marker of heart disease? Why is inflammation a concern? And that's because I know what causes the inflammation in most cases. It's the abnormal deposition of lipoproteins in the artery wall.
Ah, ding, 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 I'm ringing the bell, because right, that brings us all back around.
Exactly. And so it's the lipoproteins, the little vehicles, the particles that carry your cholesterol, that bang into your artery wall. You want to know how many of them there are, because if there are too many, they will get in and they will cause heart disease. You can't get heart disease if you don't deposit lipoproteins in the artery wall. So you need to know how many lipoproteins you have. In many cases, for some people, cholesterol is a reasonable estimate of lipoproteins. But for many people, it is not. And that's why we've all heard about the person with low cholesterol who has a heart attack, or the person with high cholesterol who never gets heart disease. Because who may have a difference in lipoproteins and their cholesterol? I'll give you some examples. Anyone who's overweight, anyone with diabetes, anyone with low HDL good cholesterol, anyone with kidney disease, anyone with liver disease, anyone, a woman with polycystic ovarian syndrome, all of these types of patients can have abnormalities in lipoproteins when their cholesterol looks perfectly fine. I can't tell you how many women in their 50s and 60s I see who come to me and they say, well, my cholesterol is high, but I've got a lot of good cholesterol, HDL cholesterol also. So my doctor has told me I'm okay. And the answer is there's no way you know you're okay, because the bottom line is you really don't know if that HDL good cholesterol is protecting you or not protecting you. You need to know what your lipoproteins are. And that's why we measure it. And it's a very obtainable and easy to get test. Almost every major laboratory in the country checks this now. If you order it at many places, the cost is anywhere between $20 and $90. But Medicare covers one form of testing, the NMR lipoprofile, four times a year. So again, this is really not a crazy test that's a lot of money. It's pretty much state-of-the-art management in cholesterol and cardiovascular risk assessment now. And more people need to know about it, understand about it, and ask their doctors about it.
Well, do me a favor, please, Dr. Underberg, and repeat what you just said. What is the name of the test that you want people to start asking their doctor to include on their profile and their blood test when they get it?
I think that they should either ask for a test called an ApoB level or an LDL particle number. Those are the two tests that I would want to give an option to my patients. And depending on where you are in the country, one is a little easier to get than the other, but the ApoB level or the LDL particle number. And if you can get one of those two tests, then you're going to know a lot more about your cholesterol-related risk than you would with a standard cholesterol panel. No x-rays, no radiation, no dyes, a simple test that identifies the cause of the problem.
This is great information. That's exactly what we were hoping you'd give us. So now prevention. Give us your top tips for what we can do to prevent heart disease altogether from even beginning.
Well, it all starts early. That's the key. And for those people out there who are younger and listening, guess what? It's not waiting until you're in your 40s and 50s to suddenly decide to get religion. Because the bottom line is, you wouldn't wait till your car started making a funky noise before you decided to change the oil. You have to start doing this early. We know from autopsy studies in young people who die in natural disasters that the early changes of atherosclerosis start in the late teens and possibly even earlier. We know that if your cholesterol is high, if you're overweight, if you have a tire around the middle, if you're not exercising or active, all of those things early on can impact risk for heart disease later on. So start early, that's number one. Number two, as the American Heart Association says, choose to move. Just get moving. Anything that's more than you're doing now is better than nothing. Ask. Ask what my triglycerides are, what's my blood sugar, what's my blood pressure. Okay, what are my lipoproteins? And finally, recall. Remember, what's my family history? Family history is one of the most overwhelming risk factors. If you've got someone who died at an early age from a heart attack or stroke in your family, it dramatically increases your risk. If I'm a woman and I've had a child, was there an abnormality with blood sugar? Did I have gestational diabetes? Did I have preeclampsia? All of these things might increase your risk of having cardiovascular disease. And so you want to then go back and be vigilant about all the other things. And finally, stop. Stop eating the wrong food. Stop smoking. Stop smoking. Stop smoking. If you stop smoking within 1 year, you have reduced your risk of having a heart attack or stroke by 50%. Guess what? If you take cholesterol medicines, aspirin, and blood pressure medicines, the most you'll reduce your risk over 5 years is 40%. So again, stopping smoking is the best thing anyone can do who smokes. And those are basically my key tips.
And when you say eat better, I mean, because the American College of Sports Medicine recommends 5 days a week. It doesn't even have to be 30 straight minutes. It can be in 10-minute increments, whatever you have time. You don't have time to exercise. You have to make time. But when we talk about better foods, Dr. Underberg, what do you personally want to tell people? You like fish oil? You like oatmeal? You like what do you want us to eat?
Well, there is no perfect diet for everyone. That's the first one. When it comes to diet for losing weight, most studies have shown that whatever diet is the one that gets you to consume less calories is the one that's going to get you to lose weight. There's no magical answer to diets. It's what gets you to lose weight by reducing your caloric intake. Less is better. Every patient is different when it comes to that. As far as cholesterol is concerned, there are some tricks and things that you can do with diet that lowers cholesterol. Anything that increases the amount of soluble fiber in your diet certainly lowers cholesterol. Fish oils, we really don't use them to lower cholesterol. We use them to lower triglycerides in patients who have very high triglycerides greater than 500. Now, if you've had a heart attack or stroke, you should probably take a low dose of fish oils because that will reduce your risk of sudden death if you've had a heart attack or stroke. If you don't eat any of the healthy fish, and what's that? It's salmon, mackerel, herring, trout, and anchovy. Then probably a low dose of fish oils once a day is reasonable if you don't feel like increasing your fish intake. And finally, when it comes to oils, it's interesting. We think of what? Olive oil as being the healthy oil. But guess what? There's really only been one good study showing that dietary interventions in patients at risk for heart disease reduce the risk of heart attack and stroke. It was a study done in France called the Lyon Heart Study. And in that study, they actually supplemented people with a canola oil spread, not with olive oil. So a canola oil spread really is the one thing we have evidence of. And canola oil is very high in omega-3s. So again, what else is high in omega-3s? Walnuts, okay? This is just a very good study released at the American College of Preventive Medicine showing that walnuts may have an impact on diabetics. So again, walnuts and almonds are good because of their healthy characteristics, and walnuts in particular for their source of omega-3s.
Dr. Underberg, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming on with us today.
My pleasure. It's been great to be on with you. Thank you very much.
And you've been dubbed the Super Doctor by New York Times Magazine, and we are so glad to have him on here. You're learning about preventive medicine. It's what is going to take us into the future, listeners. Preventive medicine, the way we stop things before they start. It's going to save us all money, save our lives. You're hearing about it here on Health Radio. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day and stay healthy.